The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. Not just any Thursday, March Madness Thursday. It is a numbers game. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, DraftKings Network, however you're taking us in. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada. The day was happening.
Not much, man. We will rock you. Welcoming us in this morning. Yeah, all right.
You know what you're going to have to do tonight? You're going to have to call me and remind me that it's not Friday today. Because I did every year this happens. I've reminded myself multiple times yesterday that this morning is not Friday morning. Because it feels like Friday morning because of March Madness.
It does. I always try to schedule like one thing or something on Thursday of this Thursday just to avoid that feeling.
Yeah.
Like I got one other thing I got to do today after the show.
What's that? Share with us.
No, doctor's appointment.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, great scheduling on your part, by the way. Well, nice lead on. By the way, if you have not submitted your bracket yet, and I know you know who you are, because there's still a little over 2 hours here before the first tip between Mississippi State and Michigan State. Wait a half an hour because Dr. Bob is going to join us and he will go through what the underpicked teams are in terms of filling out your brackets. The idea, the bigger the pool, the more contrarian you ought to be. And he has access to the big pool numbers and he will try to optimize your bracket if you have not submitted it yet. One last person you got to listen to because before that, Zach Cohen will have his college basketball plays as well. We'll have crack a little later on the show. And I got to tell you what my survivor play is today. We're going to get to that momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Real quick, because the Dodgers now are on pace to go 1-1. Just want to get this out of the way, Kelly. Dodgers lose to the Padres here. Shohei, 1 of 5 in this ballgame. In case you missed it, the other big story yesterday, and we'll get into this a little later, perhaps. Or you know what? Maybe not, because it's March Madness. But we do have to mention that if you missed it, if you're trapped under heavy object yesterday, Dodgers interpreter for Shohei Ohtani fired after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation set off a series of events. Ipe Mizuhara, longtime friend and interpreter for Ohtani, incurred the gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation that was from multiple sources, as told to ESPN. How he came to lose his job, started the reporters asking questions about the wire transfers. Mizuhara had a contract with the Angels when Ohtani played there and signed with the Dodgers this offseason. He confirmed to ESPN he's been paid between $300,000 to $500,000 annually. And the issue with this story is that, as Dallas Braden, former ball player Dallas Braden, pointed out, the rough timeline, Ohtani went on record with ESPN stating that he transferred $4.5 million himself to the bookmaker on behalf of his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. Then a spokesperson for Ohtani delivered Ipe to ESPN and said, here, talk to him. And Ipe says Ohtani never bet and felt bad for him, Mizuhara, and paid off his debt, Mizuhara's debt, so he'd never do it again. Then the spokesperson for Ohtani says, wait a minute, now that I've heard this interview, he's lying, the interpreter, after he gave his 90-minute statement to ESPN. Ohtani's lawyers claimed a massive theft, quote unquote, and then Ipe then said that Ohtani had zero knowledge of his debt or the gambling habit in general. That about right? So it's just there's all these, you know, just the stories are changing and they're evolving and
a legal mess. I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. This doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. I mean, if you believe the surface story. It's kind of sad if you believe the surface story of this guy who, you know, the interpreter who you always see with Ohtani, who's been with him since he's gotten into the majors, who, you know, is basically a close friend, personal assistant interpreter, all combined into one. Okay, man, you went and lost a ton of money, and then Shohei's going to cover $4.5 million worth of your debts.
So that
what
is,
a dude.
So if you believe that story, you're right. It's how could you mess up that cush gig?
Yeah.
And boy, you know, what a great friend Ohtani is to you.
Right.
Or if you believe the other side of this, which is, ain't none of that true.
Right, exactly.
And oh, what a friend
he is to Ohtani
on the flip side, covering up for all that time. So we'll see.
See how that plays out. Yep.
And sports betting is viewed differently now than it was back in the Pete Rose days. Mm-hmm. So it's not an equivalent. And again, there's no allegation that there's baseball bets here either. So let's put it this way. The big difference, and I'll end it on this. The big difference is while baseball did everything back then to just shun Pete Rose, you would think they would take an opposite tact here of having this go away as quickly as humanly possible.
Completely agree. Yeah.
So I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you know this. March Madness, 2 hours away. This is fantastic. And so I have famously said, I don't do brackets anymore. I am a Survivor guy, and I believe it is the most fun thing. NCAA Survivor, as great as NFL Survivor is, NCAA Tournament Survivor is the greatest thing ever because it's multidimensional. Not only is it, you know, again, contrasted with the NFL, NFL 20 team, if you do the circle one, which has a Thanksgiving and a Christmas quirk, that's a 20 team money line parlay where you can't pick the same team twice. It's linear. One direction. This is multidimensional. It's chess because not only do you have to survive on a daily basis with one team, but you also have to make sure that you have teams remaining once we get down the stretch, Elite Eight, Final Four, and Championship game. Because otherwise you'll be eliminated that way. So now let me just say this. The quirk to my Survivor, the Survivor that I'm in, maximum three entries. But here's the key. You are allowed one rebuy-in on each of them. So even if I get knocked out today, I'm allowed to rebuy. So what does that mean? That one time only, by the way, everybody gets this this allowance. So the question is, do I, just like with NFL Survivor, do I pick a different team in each of my three entries? Do I go all in on one? Well, with the rebuy, I think I'm going to shove with one team. And the problem with, you know, unlike my tennis picks, which we're about to do here, where I'm by myself locked into my numbers and here are my picks and it's very mechanical for me. This is more like, okay, let me hear what everybody else has to say. I did a podcast with Todd and Will, the Beating the Book Megapod podcast with Todd and Will. Then I, of course, we had Peter Keating and Jordan Brenner on yesterday. And, you know, like take in all this information. And the issue is, or at least with all this anecdotally that I took in on this show, there's not really a consensus on any update. Oh, by the other big rule in the contest that I need to talk about is the tiebreaker is upset incentivized.
That's hilarious. Okay. It's funny you just said that because we're going to get to my bets in a bit that I've made. It's not many dogs.
So you're incentivized because in the end, if you're tied, if you're picking the 13s and the 12s and your numbers add up to more, you'll be the winner. I ended up with, because there was no consensus between Todd, Will, and Jordan Brenner, and Peter Keating, and everybody else who we had on the show, because for every McNeese State, right?
Yes.
There was people saying, yeah, but it's still Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And for every, you know, for every NC State, having come off the ACC tournament, just to use another example, you know, you had Todd and Will both saying, nah, I like Texas Tech.
Right. Yep.
I ended up with Colorado State over Texas.
Okay.
And I'm shoving on Colorado State in all three. Because I don't think Texas is very good.
I still think you're playing it right, though.
And it's still a double-digit seed. Yeah. Colorado State, albeit a 10. And so, and again, I have the rebuy. So the pressure is not such that it would eliminate me entirely. So I'm going all in on Colorado State today. That is my Survivor play. And again, I don't feel like Colorado State is going to advance deep into the tournament.
One more time. It's four entries and you're
three.
Three and you're pushing, you're shoving all three.
Shoving Colorado State because I do get a rebound. If I lose today, I'm still not eliminated.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you told me you had three or four and you were saving one. And
no,
going three to Colorado State. Okay.
All right. Shove.
Cool. I like it. It's kind of funny you say that, though. I'm just going to go to my bets. Look, college basketball, please. I bet lightly. If you've listened to this show, you know this is not my forte. This is fun gambling action during the NCAA tournament. I'll get involved live like you will, too, but I wanted to put these in pregame. What's the one trend here on the game bets, Gil? Not any dogs.
Not a single. By the way, that is
because of what you said.
There is a little voice in my head, because what have we talked about all week? Not only this show, but every show in the universe, every show on this network, every show in the sports betting universe, sports media universe talks about all the upsets, right?
Right.
There's been a little voice in my head all week that said, what if this is the year where there ain't much of that?
So me too. And I hope we're right, Gil. But knowing that it's called March Madness and that doesn't happen all the time. time, I'm pretty terrified of it. So real quick today, I bet BYU laid 7.5 with them. I bet that on the opener. Drake Moneyline played that. And then Friday, I've got FAU, Baylor, Auburn, TCU. Futures, FAU horrible number, bet a while ago. Tennessee and Auburn just bet yesterday.
Yeah,
decided
to
add those.
I should mention, I do have my futures and, you know, throw them in the trash already. But I had BYU at 100-1 to win it all. Yes, they're in the tournament. You never know. I have Alabama to win it all. Yes, they're in the tournament. You never know. 60-1. I don't expect either of those to win. To make the Final Four, these are, you know, UConn certainly live at +180. Got that in February, early February. And then BYU at 12-1 to make the Final Four. Let's just put it this way. Stranger things have happened.
And also, at least all your numbers are better than what they are now.
Oh, yes. That for sure.
I pulled up some of those futures yesterday. FAU is like 200-1 places. I'm like, cool. I got 75-1. Let's go.
Well, FAU is a great example. We had Jim Root on yesterday. So the three-man Weavers. So Jim reports to us that both of the other guys love FAU in their opener. And I'm like, aren't they a year late on FAU? He's like, I think so. Right. So it's like even those three guys can't get together on just the outcome of that one game, let alone some of these other.
I mean, I was listening to their pod. So it's Matt is what, like he was last year, is heavy on FAU and thinks that they can kind of recapture what they had last year since it's a lot of the same pieces. Kai went along with it, and I think they both had them upsetting then UConn. But remember, Jim, we talked to yesterday, he had UConn beating FAU in the second round, but then losing
after that
in the Sweet 16.
To Auburn, which is not nearly as controversial, yeah. It's going to be so much fun. We'll talk more college hoops on the other side with Zach Cohen, Dr. Bob as well. Zach with some tennis plays. I have my tennis plays at the top on the other side as well. Kelly's got some NBA plays, or at least one. All of that and more. March Madness, it's coming. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready to dominate the brackets. Turn your picks into profits this tournament with the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide. Inside this guide, you'll find expert strategies, insider tips, and in-depth analysis that'll give you the edge you need to outshine the competition, from underdog upsets to championship predictions. The VSiN Pro Betting Guide will have brackets from hosts and experts, NCAA tournament betting trends, and of course, best bets for every round of the tournament. Don't miss out on this game-changing resource. It's not too late. Download the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide today at VSiN.com/madness. That's VSIN.com/madness. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly, would you say more people milling about, because we do this show from 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific daily, more people milling about on the morning of March Madness than any other day of the year?
Yes, absolutely. We're filling up quick.
Yep.
Matt, I don't know if you can pan that camera at all, but we've got everybody's staking their claim. It's like their land, right? Like, got to grab the table for the day.
Oh, that's what's happening.
That's going on. Right. We've got like a bunch of one man tables going on right now.
Love it. And I love that we have this gentleman on the show. And again, I started the show by saying, if you have not submitted your bracket yet, wait till we talk to Dr. Bob. His name is Bob Stoll. He goes by Dr. Bob. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Bob Sports. That's Dr. Bob Sports. And of course, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Bob joins us now. How you doing, Bob? What's happening?
I'm doing all right. Didn't get a lot of sleep on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but I caught up yesterday a little bit. Fun work.
Yeah, let me just ask you this, if I could. Like, as long as you've been doing this, does a little boy come out of you when March Madness begins, or are you such a robot at this point doing what you do with modeling that you don't feel it anymore with this event?
I'd be working during the day on Sunday, Selection Sunday, trying to do my ratings on certain, on teams as I go along. And then the selection show would come on and I'd flip it over and I'd be looking at the selection show and getting all fired up about matchups. And a couple of years ago, I just kind of stopped doing that. I'm like, well, that sort of distracts me from doing the work I need to do. So today, this year, I actually got done a day earlier because I didn't watch any TV. I didn't watch any brackets or selection shows or bracket analysis. I didn't watch anything on TV, and I was able to get my work done a day earlier than normal. So I got my brackets out to my simulation out on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So that helped a lot of people. So right. No, not as excited as I used to be.
Okay. Well, that said, before we get to the bracket talk macro wise, how about we talk about a play today? What do you like today that's still available?
Kansas is -7 now. Kevin McCullough's out for Kansas, second best player on Kansas. Dickinson might not be 100%, but I think he'll be fairly close to it for the Jayhawks. They're going up against a Samford team that likes to run and tempo, and that's fine. That run and gun style that Samford uses is one of the fastest teams in the nation. It works great when they're playing the weaker teams from the Southern Conference. But they faced two teams from that were better than them this year. And they lost by 53 points to Purdue and by 10 points at VCU. And VCU is not nearly as good as Kansas. So that fast pace tends to work against teams when they're playing better teams. I think Kansas is going to love to get up and down the floor. They're faster than normal team anyway. And I think they'll be really focused with McCullough out. I think that the team is more likely to say, hey, one of our best players that we really got to buckle down. And so they're more likely to be focused against a lower seeded team than they might otherwise. Also, Bill Self's team coming off a loss tends to be really good historically. Since he's been at Kansas, they're 53-27-3 as a favorite off a loss against the spread. 53-27-3 against the spread. Kansas favorite off a loss, including 6-1 in the NCAA tournament. So I think Kansas is going to be really focused. McCullough is worth a couple points, and I put that in my ratings, but I still favor the Jayhawks by 9.8 points here with the fast pace included in that projection. So I think it's a good bet at up to -8.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with Samford and their performance against better teams on the other side of the break just before you, and that is part of the reason why I could not take them in Survivor. I just thought it was too trendy, and you have corroborated that nicely. All right, let's talk about the brackets in general. So let's couch this by saying that the folks that are in, that still haven't submitted and are in these big pools, so this doesn't apply to like the guys who are doing it with, their 9 friends, but if you're in bigger pools, 100, 1,000, however many entries are in there, the incentive, the bigger the pool, the more risky you want to get with some of your plays, the more upset minded you want to get. You got to be diverse. In other words, you got to differentiate yourself from the pack. And so,
yeah,
go ahead, Bob, you take it from there.
No, you go.
No,
I was going to say, basically what you want to do is inject some variance with value. So you want to inject some teams that are maybe off the radar or, upset picks to get to the Final Four or something like that, but that have value versus what everyone else might be picking. UConn is easily the best team in the tournament. They are better than they were last year because now they got everybody healthy. When everybody's playing, and they had a lot of injuries during the season, and when everybody's playing, they are really, really good. Normally, you do not find value with really high speed. This year, comparing my simulation to the national pools, who's picking who, et cetera, I'm finding value on Connecticut a little bit. Now, 30% of the people are picking Connecticut to win, and I have them at 34%. Normally, the higher seeds are like -5 or 10% below what the public's picking them, and you kind of need to steer clear. But Houston also has a little bit of value. I think people, with Houston going out earlier than people thought in recent years, I think they've got a little bit of a stigma and people are kind of avoiding them. But I give Houston about an 18% chance to win it all, and they're being picked around 12 to 13% by the public. So Houston could be a good alternative to Connecticut. But if you're going to take Connecticut, you need to inject some value somewhere else. Teams like Arizona, Tennessee, Baylor, legitimate chances to make the Final Four. So you can put some of those in there. But the one that I think has the biggest value to make the Final Four is St. Mary's. I give them a 13.8% chance to make the Final Four. The public is only picking the Gale 2.5% to make the Final Four. So if you're in a huge pool, and you can have Connecticut going to your Final Four, but if you want to avoid the masses and want to take someone else, or you can take Connecticut, fine, I would. I did in my pool, but it took St. Mary's to make the Final Four as something to differentiate yourself from the 30% of the people that are taking Connecticut. So you have to think about stuff like that. And if you really want to avoid Connecticut, then Auburn, who they probably face in the Sweet 16, would be a legitimate pick because Auburn is a legitimately good team. The problem is they're facing Connecticut. But if they beat Connecticut, they've got a good road to the Final Four and could easily win it. So if you really want to go rogue, and be amongst very few having Auburn to win it all, that could be something you want to do in a huge pool to give yourself a, you know, kind of a clear lane. If they happen to get by dogs, so it's not unreasonable. And once they do that, Auburn really has the makeup of a team that could win it all if they can get by Connecticut. So there's some things to think about.
I hope if you have, again, if you're one of the those who have not submitted their bracket, there's a bunch. We still have an hour and a half to go here before tip-off of March Madness. That is really something you inject into your pool if you're in a large one. Let's split the difference. Last thing here, Bob, because you mentioned championship. You mentioned Final Four with St. Mary's. You mentioned Sweet 16. With Auburn as well getting to the Elite Eight, is there any other teams in there beyond the ones you just mentioned that might be a differentiator for folks?
Yeah, first of all, for the Elite Eight, there's certain teams you avoid. The biggest negative value teams, according to my simulation, would be North Carolina, Kentucky, and Iowa State. Now, Iowa State mostly because, you know, they're, I don't know, I thought Iowa State would be one of the top five or six teams in my rankings, and they ended up like eighth or ninth. So it really surprised me when I dialed it in. But North Carolina, Kentucky, and Iowa State have the most negative value to make the Elite Eight. Reasonable.
And let's define that again. Real, negative value, meaning, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, for instance, like, North Carolina, for instance, to make the Elite Eight, I give them a 35% chance. That's great, but 71% of the public are picking North Carolina to make the Elite Eight. That's negative 36% value.
Huge.
Kentucky, I give them 23% chance, and the public's picking them at 47%. So a huge difference. So if you want to, you know, stay away from teams that the public is picking more than they're worthy, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Iowa State are the three most for the Elite Eight section. And teams that you could sneak in there that have positive value to make the Elite Eight are teams like TCU, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Marquette. Now, Cole is assuming going to play and be healthy for Marquette. So those are teams that have positive value to make the Elite Eight.
TCU, your audio cut out there, so let me just repeat it. TCU, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Marquette, those are the four?
Yeah, Wisconsin and Marquette were the four that had value for the Elite Eight, to make the Elite Eight.
Okay. Bob, beautiful. Anything tomorrow you wanted to share with us real quick that you might have a play on before we go? 30 seconds?
No, I'm still working on some stuff for tomorrow, so if you want to have me back on again, perhaps I can throw one out tomorrow.
Well, why don't we do that? By the way, then we'll close with this. Do you play brackets? Do you play Survivor? What do you do personally, Bob? Anything?
Yeah, I do brackets. I've it's not a huge pool. Friends pool for, you know, maybe there's 300 people or something like that. I've won it a couple times. It's just for trash talk and stuff. I'm not in a huge major pool anywhere.
All right. I like it. Bob's like 200, 300 people. I won it a couple times. No big deal. That's Bob. Bob, let's have you back on tomorrow. Really appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy.
The great Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, at drbobsports on Twitter, courtesy, again, of the Progressive Guest Line. Crack is here. Kelly and I, we're going to do a draft. Are we going to do an NCAA tournament draft?
We're going to do it.
Head to head, me and Kelly. That's coming up. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VEASAN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet. $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Hell of a deal. You could earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Download the app now and use code ANG when you sign up. Got to use that code ANG and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada at the D. Ladies and gentlemen, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. What's happening?
How you guys doing? All right?
Doing very well.
Boy, it's in the air.
It is. Look at this crowd.
Look at this crowd here.
We never have a crowd this early.
They're getting their seats this early. I was just over at Circa. I did the walk from there, and it's just like the calm before the storm. Nobody was really in there.
When Bill Krakenberger walks from Circa to the D, how many times do you get stopped?
I think I stopped once.
Once?
How'd you know that?
On Fremont?
Yeah. Right outside, right,
I mean, we saw you shaking hands and kissing babies.
Kissing
here
before pressing the flesh.
Yeah, 3 months. A guy walked out right at the door of the Four Queens. I don't know, like, and he's like, "What? Wait." He goes, "Where are you going?" And he's like, well, "Hi, how are you?" Yeah. Look, I mean, nobody's there.
No.
It is a little. It's a little wild at this time.
Oh,
of day.
Yeah.
Fremont.
This feels great to be alive.
It
does. Is what it's all about. This is the greatest thing ever. Will and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, no matter how, Will was saying, and it wasn't just me, no matter how old we get, right? So we're all betters, and we tend to, as we get older, even if we weren't betters, right? The older you get, you tend to get more jaded, right? Your childhood love for teams tends to dissipate over time for any number of reasons. But there is something about March Madness, right? Selection Sunday to this morning, the brackets, Survivor, whatever you're playing, I don't think you ever outgrow this.
No, this is, I used to go out with my buddies every year back in the 90s, you know, from back east. And you come out Wednesday, you think, by the way, like early 90s, you think you know what you're doing. You got your own teams. But you want to stay at a place, too. Like, I was thinking to myself, we used to go to Bally's for some reason because it was, well, not for some reason. It was the famous Four Corners. There was more sports books there. You had the Bally sports book. You, of course, had Bellagio. You had Caesars. You had the Barbary Coast. But behind the Barbary Coast, there was another sports book there, too. Maybe the Maxim had their own. They had a book at the Maxim. But there was the Bourbon Street. There was a place called Bourbon Street. So I have 6 line sets you can look at in a matter of, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. You can get around. And
a corner of the Strip in Paradise.
That corner.
Yeah.
No, it was actually corner in the Strip. And the Strip and the Flamingo in that corner.
Flamingo, not B.A.
Yeah.
Flamingo.
And that particular corner right there was, I thought it was that you can reach the most books within the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the differences. This is before the internet. Amazing the differences you would find. But I think I was saying it to someone else, or I was talking about when we used to come out that time of the year. We used to, like right now, you used to always go to the pool. It was like 10 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Something happened last decade.
You and I, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I brought it up. But we do get, like, if you're in town, that we do get too nice for those who are at the pool. They get nice days today and tomorrow. Then it goes back to being sucky on Saturday.
No. It's going to be like 75 today, right?
Yeah, today's nice for them. But, that's for those who have come into town. And so they do get lucky in that regard. I do have this breaking news report. Are you ready for this? From some Steve Fezzik.
Oh, yeah.
Noted bridge jumper Stephen Fezzik. The only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest.
What's that rascal up to?
famously, of course, had Purdue last year against Fairleigh Dickinson. Look, we love Steve, but he feels the need to make all this public, and so here we are again. He lost on that. This just in. Breaking news. Fairleigh Dickinson won as a 16 seed last year, famously, and people went after him. What did he lay? -4,500, I think, last
Something
year
like
on
that,
Purdue.
Yeah.
I believe that was not. Then just a week or two ago, remember he had Villanova against DePaul, and he needed a 3-29 DePaul.
Got home easy, Kel. What are you talking about?
Never in doubt. Well, Steve is announcing that he is playing the money line on all 4 number one seeds, respectively.
Huh.
Now, I don't know his exact numbers, so I don't want to quote any right now. But he is on North Carolina, Purdue, Houston, and UConn the next 2 days. And again, mathematically speaking,
right?
Let's just see, because Fez was on earlier this week, and he was a joy to have on the show. And we talked briefly about this. For those, again, who are new or newish to betting, mathematically speaking, by his numbers, right, it's a 99-point-whatever chance of those teams winning on the money line. Again, this is not about spreads. He's betting on the money line. He's laying a cartoonish number on it. But value is value. And to someone like him who does things through a mathematical lens, if it is perceived as plus EV, which it is to him, then based on the number he's getting, that's why I don't want to quote, because if I quote something that I'm saying, it doesn't mean that that's what Steve got. And he was very clear of saying, hey, if I'm going -4,500 on something, don't you go -7,000 on it, right? Or whatever the difference is. So he is getting the best that he can, and then he is doing it. Now, it's not for everyone, though, as he said, please, bet $5 on it, whatever you want to do, it's fine. But that's what he's doing. So he will be on all 4 number ones.
He's emptying my accounts here.
Yes.
Like he's asking me to bet for him because this is, Like there you go. Yeah. There you go, Gil. It's a live bet for you.
That's right. There it is. Yeah. And so, what does it say?
Well, that he doesn't know it yet, but it's $34,125 to win $750. So there it is. The bet has been made. And I just made it right in front of you.
That was Purdue, by the way.
Yeah, Purdue. We don't have to say where, but I mean, it's
here's Seth Davis last night. He's like, I don't know. Grambling's got the goods to be Purdue. I'm paraphrasing. You say it could be dicey. Well, that's
$200,000 pending on three games, Steve. Thanks.
This is so for Steve. That's his angle on it. Now, my only thing with him, and this I said it to him when he was here, because he's like, oh, your head's exploding. I don't know, my head's not exploding. I get why you're doing it. I just don't know why you feel the need to make it in public all the time.
I would kind of agree with that. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, but then again, you know, I know it's mathematically right to do.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to open myself up. I don't want to deal with anybody going nuts. And you want to know something? You guys both know this, right? Most people are rooting against them.
Oh, well,
of course.
We talked about this the other day.
Yeah. They're rooting against them.
Because I will tell you, during the DePaul-Villanova game, as it was going down the wire, everyone was just rooting against him. And all I did was I was just shaking my head. I was like, oh, please don't lose. I
mean, we talked about the next day. How many people texted you during that? I probably had four, five, six different texts.
That's the one thing I will say. He completely took the attention of all of gambling Twitter with that.
Yeah, like, I mean,
everybody was rooting against him.
If I'm being honest, I mean, I want him to win every single one of those bets. I kind of hope it's in Villanova style, though, so I get like a miniature sweat on my side.
100%. Just to let him feel it a little bit and then have him win it.
I got to be honest. You know, I actually did. I bet that for him. And I was one of the bets. He might have had more, but I didn't know that. I wasn't watching the game at all. Someone said to me, do you believe this upset happened? They didn't even know I bet it. And I was like, what? What upset? And I was like, oh, my God. I turned it on. It was literally 57-55 or something like that. It was whatever it was. It was 2 points. And then they had to make the three with 13 seconds.
Villanova hit a three with
whatever, 15 seconds?
Like 9 seconds, whatever it was. I don't know, but don't hold me to that. But with those seconds left in the game, and then the final possession, DePaul, just they didn't even get past half court.
You're kidding me. They got the ball stolen. Left?
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
It got stolen. Pain. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, he by the way, if you're wondering if I'm speaking out of school, no, Steve authorized that I could say it to the world.
A win's a win. I just told people. So
yeah,
a win is a win and is a win.
The part that's interesting about what you said, though, is that everyone was rooting against.
Everyone's rooting against.
And that we've said so many times is the. Listen, I've said it to Steve, too. In his case, does he bring part of it onto himself? He does. He even, if he's here, he admits that he does. And I always say to him, I go, Steve, why are you're a nice person in private. Why do you got to be this brash guy in general on Twitter? He goes, I know you're right. And then the second I turn the corner, he's back to doing it again. Like he's like a child that can't help himself. So he does bring some of it on himself. But generally speaking, like I don't get the whole thing where bettors are rooting against each other. I don't get it at all. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I don't know what it is in the DNA of bettors where like because they want to be right about future outcomes, they got to disparage the guy next to it. It's not enough for them to be right. They got to say, I'm right and you're wrong.
It's really hard to bet where 50,000 will hurt me mentally, physically, emotionally, financially.
Yeah.
But to make 1,000 doesn't really, 1,000's a good dinner. Like, so I can't,
right.
I almost can't justify it, but I understand why he does it. That's all.
It's wild though. Like I'm looking at the board right now. Like I'm just going to use UConn as an example, like 26 to 26.5 point favorite in that game against Stetson. Money line wise, I see any range from -7,500 to -20,000.
Right. That's why I'm not saying a number because I don't know what he got it at.
But that's a massive difference, obviously.
Yeah, not great. It seems much bigger than it is when you get to those numbers, but it's still a difference for sure. All right, we'll come back. Dan Lebatard next on GK Network. We're coming back. We'll do a March Madness draft. Bill, you want to join us? Say
sure.
Yes.
Sure.
That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager on. now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's Bill Krakenberger.
Just a reminder, if all the all the promos we ever do.
Oh, it's fantastic.
This is the best one that we've ever run. Ever run.
It's fantastic. It's an offer that even makes Bill Krakenberger.
Was it 2,500? Up to 2,500?
Yes, sir. And with so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Gil, Kelly, and Bill Krakenberger. March Madness about to start 30 minutes away. Let me just start with the Megapod. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I did it, and I've kind of kept this quiet for those because I wanted people to listen to the Megapod. But now that we're so close to tip-off of March Madness, I'll go ahead and reveal sort of what the big reveal was on the podcast. In case you missed it, which is last year, the March Madness podcast is so well received that I can't thank folks enough for listening to it. Last year, Todd and Will were spectacular. Todd, again, as I mentioned, he had UConn to beat San Diego State in the finals. He also had Michigan State going far. He was just spot on with everything. And in fact, during the podcast itself, I said to him, you know, your picks are so different from the norm, you should be submitting these to a national contest. I said it to him more than once. And then as the tournament went on, Doug Wedge, one of our listeners who listened to that podcast, Doug Wedge is like, I just won $35,000 listening to your podcast. I finished second [S2] Wow. [S1] Nationally. And Todd, then all of a sudden, this horror came over him. He's like, oh my God, could I have been first and won $1 million? And thank God he only would have finished second. So he cost himself $35,000 as opposed to $1 million. By the way, while he was doing that, Will famously called FAU, Florida Atlantic, to get to the Final Four, which was an outlandish play at that time. And yet that happened as well. So we go into the podcast this year, unbeknownst to each other, to them. They hadn't spoken before that. They ended up with the same long shot Final Four pick. Do you know what that was?
Oh, wow. No.
The very first game today, Mississippi State wow. is playing Michigan State. They both came up with Mississippi State in their Final Fours.
Wow.
Mississippi State in their Final Fours. That was the big thing. And by the way, Todd also had in his Final Four South Carolina.
Wow.
There you go.
Oh, I think Oregon, they're going to give them trouble today.
Todd also says this. He goes, there's no question my bracket's going to suck because it was so good last year, and I hate the way that they shook out this year. So there's that disclaimer. Survivor, for those of you who are playing in Survivor, I am going with Colorado State today once again. I was tempted by all the others. In the end, I like Colorado State over Texas. If I lose in the format that I'm in, there is a rebuy, so I'm still alive. Anybody who loses today will still be alive. You get one rebuy on any of your entries, maximum three entries. So I shoved on Colorado State on all three.
Do most do a rebuy or is it like
most,
half and half?
Most do a rebuy. I think it's over 80% do a rebuy, and that's how the pool becomes bigger and bigger.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you have the option, that's usually a pretty good strategy.
The Survivor pool that I was in years ago, you'll appreciate this, that was shut down by the feds up and down the Eastern Seaboard. There were no rebuys, but you could keep entering the first day up until the final tip-off.
Wow.
So it became like an $800,000 pool at the time. That was many, many years ago. It was shut down.
They haven't shut things down in Staten Island. I'll tell you that.
Is that right?
Staten Island's got they're the capital of all these kind of pools and stuff. Yeah,
it was up there that it was formed somewhere in that region of the country. People in the East Coast know exactly who I'm talking about. Him and him, you know what I mean. Your three first half plays once again were
Moorhead, McNeese, and
South
Dakota State. Look, I want to make you laugh. So Felica texts you and I together. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you entertaining me as I sit off the side of the road across the border in Mass.
So he's betting so tournament futures.
Bet the tournament futures and final four round, final four round robins because I can't in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And he's a picture of his car on the side of the road. I got to tell you something. I know those feelings, Chris. I was doing that here in Nevada, driving over to Arizona when I was able to bet on the apps before they threw me off the apps, all the sites. But that is just funny. Thinking of that, I forgot about that. The rules from state to state are ridiculous, some of them.
Yeah.
You can't bet this in Connecticut. You can't bet any team that's going to play against Connecticut. So, in other words, UConn, if UConn's involved in anything, a future pool, or anything, you can't bet it. That's the reason why. How do they make these rules up? Come on. Every state has different rules, but that's like New Jersey. You can't bet New Jersey teams. But you could bet a futures pool you can bet into. I'm 99% sure, but yet Connecticut, you cannot bet into any future pool because Connecticut's in that future pool.
Let me go back to your three picks again. First half picks. Yep. Not full game, but this is, again, a tried and true betting tenet for the round of 64. Yep. Underdogs don't always manifest for a full game against the spread, let alone on the money line, either one. So he's taking them first half. McNeese, South Dakota State, and...
McNeese, South Dakota State, and Moorhead.
And Moorhead State.
Yep. Moorhead State versus Illinois.
By the way, Colorado State being my survivor play today, tomorrow, don't hold me to this, but tomorrow I am leaning towards Utah State as my survivor play. So we'll see. Kelly, you have some college hoops plays as well?
I got two for today. BYU, I laid that on the opener. I think that's – I laid 7.5. What's that?
Up to 10 now, last I saw.
Wow.
What is it now? Let me check. It's back to 9.
Like, that was one just – I mean, you know me. I'm not the biggest college basketball player, but I feel like everybody was talking about that game as soon as it opened. So I was like, all right, let me try to get in on this now.
BYU taking on Duquesne, by the way. Right. First time in the tournament for the for Duquesne since 1977.
Wow.
Yeah, so in on them, BYU side today, and the Drake money line I played last night as well.
Yeah.
Oppo Will Hill.
Let's
go, Will.
My futures plays again, the only ones that I have are from earlier in the year. BYU at 100-1 to win it all. Good luck to me. Alabama 60-1. Same thing. But I do like my final four plays. My final four plays, UConn at plus 180. Though UConn got scred in their region. We talked about how that was the big headline from Selection Sunday, besides the fact that Virginia got into it, was the fact that UConn, once again, for all the consensus that they are the number one team in the nation, and I think most people feel that way, the committee didn't do them any favors. And that looms over this tournament more than anything, I think, as we head into it, because in their bracket, they've got to face the 4-seed Auburn Tigers if the favorites win out to that point. And that is the most brutal of seedings ever because, again, Auburn, to win the national title, is the 6th shortest shot. They are number 4 in KenPom, and they are a 4-seed. They got placed with UConn. It's ridiculous. Not only that, but in terms of what other, like, top-ranked KenPom teams, UConn not only has number 4-ranked KenPom in terms of number 4-ranked Auburn in terms of KenPom, but also the 21st-ranked KenPom team in San Diego State in their region. 16th-seeded BYU, who we just mentioned. 16th-ranked KenPom team BYU. 10th-ranked KenPom team, the Fighting Illini, and the 5th-ranked KenPom team in Iowa State, all of them in their region. You contrast that with the Purdue's of the world, who's the 3rd number 1 overall. They have fewer top-ranked KenPom teams in their region and not as good ranked. So, I mean, it's just an unbelievable thing. And I do have BYU 12-1 to make the Final Four. And as I said earlier, stranger things have happened with that.
There are 3 females online. What a difference this sports betting thing from years ago. God bless them. I'm so happy for them.
I saw you were so moved with my bets that you were noticing this.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, it's fantastic.
It is. Right? What is the madness.
It's the madness. It really is. But no, going back to your bets.
The weather, too.
Let me ask you a question. So if the 100-1 shot or the 60-1 shot goes deep,
yeah,
is there any kind of hedging going on?
Let me worry
about
that.
Bad question.
So it seems so outlandish to think that either Alabama or BYU is going to get deep. Oh, Alabama specifically. BYU, you never know. BYU is one of these teams that is all about three-point shooting. They know no other way to play the game of basketball. The coach admits as such. Pope says the same thing. He's like, look, if we're way up, if we're way down, that's how we play. So they are prone to, if they're up, having runs against them at any point. And if they're down, they're never out of a game. But they're always injured. Khalifa, their big man, who just appears to be perennial, just out of shape chronically. He's an injury candidate here. I'm not sure what his status is heading into the first game. Questionable last I heard. So there's all kinds of things. But to answer your question, ultimately, I'm going to worry about it when it gets to that point. But yeah, I think in this case, there has to be a hedge.
Okay. I just wondered.
Yeah. I'm not that way. Like tennis tournaments.
I'm not a hedge guy either. But 100-1, 60-1 getting deep. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'll lock in some profit. Final words, anyone? Nah. Are we excited? The greatest day of the sports betting year?
Oh, yeah. What a
It's
best.
Up there.
Wow, these next 2 days. Oh, my God.
It's fantastic.
Where are you guys going, by the way?
I'm going home.
Oh, home.
Going home. Today right. I'm going home.
All right.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll probably be down at Circa.
I can't deal with the smoke.
Oh, smoke stuff.
Good luck with all your bets, all your brackets. If you're in bracket pools, Survivor, whatever it is, whatever betting vehicle you're involved in, good luck. We've done all we can do. Enjoy the madness. Gojo and Golic are next. And Feast, the Sports Betting Network.